Did you hear the big news out of Russia this morning?
The member associations of Canada, Mexico, and USA have been selected by the FIFA Congress to host the 2026 FIFA World Cup. Thank you.
So we'll find out in a couple of years which American cities will get to host World Cup games. Seattle is in the running. Century League Field is on the short list. And soccer journalist Roger Bennett says the odds are good.
When you look at that atmosphere on a television set, a Seattle Sounders home game, you cannot help but want to dive through the television set and just be there.
Yes, soccer is popular in Seattle. The Sounders play to sold-out crowds. But what about the rest of this country? You know, soccer's been called America's game of the future since I started playing it in the early 1970s. Well, Roger Bennett argues that the future is here. He co-hosts the NBC sports show and the podcast Men in Blazers. And Roger says America has become a soccer country. It's just been building to that ever since the World Cup in 1994, when Americans definitely did not care as much about soccer as we do now.
I mean, to be honest, I was just thrilled that the sport had any bearing whatsoever. You couldn't find it on television, really, before the 1994 World Cup. But World Cup to World Cup, 2002, 2006, every World Cup has grown the audience. And there was just a Gallup study of Americans and their sporting fandom. And they realized that for those under the age of 34 in America, soccer is the third favorite biggest sport in this country at 11%, which is remarkable. I mean, towers over baseball at 6%. It's a huge number when you know how much of the 330 million that 11% actually represents. And America is a true soccer nation.
You've said that America needs to lose the suburban mentality we have around soccer.
Yeah, it's a fascinating mentality. Before the last World Cup, I did a study with a Princeton academic called Greg Kaplan, where we looked at the socioeconomic backgrounds of every U.S. men's national team footballer from 1990, when they first qualified for the first time in 40 years for the World Cup, to 2014. And then we compared them to the Pro Bowlers and the NBA All-Stars, who are kind of, I guess, the closest equivalent we have in the NFL and basketball to the best of the best of the American athletes. And soccer players just skewed off the charts in terms of economic background, socioeconomic background. The zip codes they hail from were some of the most affluent in America. And soccer, successful soccer in almost every country in the world, it's a working class game. You know, there's a hunger, a desire to succeed. I can count the number of elite middle class players on two hands. Most of the players are like Wayne Rooney, who kind of grew up fighting on the football field to define himself and grab an aspirational kind of name that would not have been open to him outside of the game. And in America, we have an unbelievably rich, fertile youth program up and down the West Coast in particular. You know, the Latino footballer, the tenacity that exists there. The US soccer system is just not set up to engage it, identify it, develop it. We had the Mexican national team coach on our show, Men in Blazers, a gentleman called Juan Carlos Osorio. And he said with a laugh, he said, the honest truth is, we know where the best Mexican-American talent is, far better than US soccer currently. And he was being honest, it's a big problem. I know US soccer are aware of it. And it's something that in the next decade, we need to work on.
How you mentioned the U.S. national team, they didn't even qualify for the World Cup. How surprised were you?
On a scale of zero, not surprised, to 10, I was about 1,000. It was a shocking atrocity, a mix of bad leadership, overconfidence, some hubris, some nemesis, some just bloody awful football. We needed to draw against Trinidad and Tobago in the final game of World Cup qualifying, TNT being the single worst team left in the tournament. It was like magical realism watching these elite professional footballers stumble around this field in Trinidad and Tobago, knowing they needed just one goal in 45 minutes, something that should never have been beyond them. Yet their legs felt weighed down like lead. The American jerseys, you could see, weighed as much as chainmail. There's many nations that have not qualified for the World Cup, this World Cup. Italy a world power, did not qualify. Chile, the Netherlands did not qualify. Of course, for America, they're not just trying to win games. They're still trying to grow the game, the American game in this country. So while their absence will really be felt, the World Cup will still be magical. And I can tell you from my own personal experience, Bill, England did not qualify for two World Cups in my youth, 1978 and 1994. And they were the two greatest World Cups of my childhood because I could watch just with eyes open, just reveling in every storyline without having to kind of fear the doom of my beloved England because they weren't in it anymore. I was kind of freed from that sporting sword of Damocles hanging over my head, and I could just dive in, immerse myself and savour it. And I think that's what every American is going to do during Russia 2018.
I hadn't thought of it that way. So as we're watching without the sword of Damocles, who should Americans, besides England, of course,
Don't do England, Bill. Don't do England. No. It's like rubbernecking at NASCAR races, just waiting for the crash. Anyone but England.
We love a good underdog story. It's not the Americans. It's not the English now. So who should we root for?
Well, Seattle has a number of players of their own, their nearest and dearest, going into World Cup action. Ramon Torres playing for Panama. Gustav Svensson was named in Sweden's 23-man roster. So you could start there. I mean, there's so many remarkable storylines. And I always say, don't choose a team. Let that team just jump out in the opening round and choose you with their heart, their soul, their tenacity, the joy with which they take the field. I'm fascinated and have been for a long time since I first went there a couple of years ago with the Icelandic national team. This tiny nation of 325,000 people. I think Corpus Christi, Texas is roughly the same size. They have 20,000 registered soccer players on that island. Rhode Island actually has more. And yet they have worked out with a blueprint, with a tactical plan, how to invest in their nation's athletes to produce a stream of elite footballers. They've invested heavily, heavily in phenomenal coaching, and it has paid off. And then some. They have this team where it's almost starless, the team, but the collective tenacity with which they take the field. They truly believe, when you interview them, Bill, that Viking blood runs through their veins. Their manager is a part-time dentist, a friend of mine, Jaime Halmagrisson. And they are going to, 12 years ago, he was coaching his local under 12 team, In a couple of days' time, he's going to walk out onto the field leading his team against Messi and Argentina. And I'll tell you, they fancy their chances. And there's something when I watch Iceland play with a collective tenacity, with a just superb self-confidence and belief in each other, that reminds me of the US team in 1994 when they took to the World Cup field. So I admire them greatly, and I hope it's a kind of spirit that US soccer can reconjure in years to come.
All right, go Vikings. Roger Bennett, anything you want to leave us with as we head into another World Cup?
Well, when the World Cup, which I've got to say, I have been waiting for it. It is just 4 years, but it feels like 40. When it kicks off tomorrow, it's 32 days of nations just colliding, fighting out, relitigating their histories, wars, conflicts, new heroes will be forged, villains just derided, names we'd never heard of from kind of Iran or Nigeria or Japan will become global heroes just because of feats that they perform with the world watching. And that's the World Cup. Americans in 1990 did not care that their team had even qualified for this tournament. This nation, even though their national team, America, will not be in the World Cup, will be watching. It's the biggest circus. Americans adore a circus. And they also, more than any other nation I've ever lived in, Bill, they adore the opportunity to daytime drink, to cut work, to charge from the office cubicle, head to bars for 32 days, Seattle. You don't need permission from your boss. Take it from Bill. Right, Bill? You are allowed to cut work, head to the bar and just revel in what the rest of the world is reveling in, which is just World Cup fever.
As long as you make a pledge to your public radio station, you can have the day off. I decree it in Seattle.
That's a fair trade.
Roger Bennett is the co-host of Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network and co-author of the new book, Encyclopedia Blazertanica, A Suboptimal Guide to Soccer, America's Sport of the Future Since 1972. He's also the host of a new podcast, American Fiasco, about America's disastrous World Cup journey between 94 and 98. Roger and his co-author Michael Davies in Seattle Saturday the 16th at the Showbox Soto. Roger, what a pleasure talking with you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Bill. And Seattle, courage.
The courage. The 2018 World Cup begins tomorrow morning. Russia plays Saudi Arabia. It'll be another 2 years until we find out whether Seattle will host a World Cup match in 2026, whether the Vuvuzelas will honk at CenturyLink Field.